Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
When it's time to scale your business, it's time for Shopify. Get everything you need to grow the way you want. Like, all the way. Stack more sales with the best converting checkout on the planet. Track your cha-chings from every channel, right in one spot. And turn real-time reporting into big-time opportunities. Take your business to a whole new level. Switch to Shopify. Start your free trial today.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we are digging deeper into episode number 11 of Survivor 49. I am joined by everybody's favorite just guy. It doesn't even matter. Doesn't have to be Survivor. Doesn't have to be anything. He's wearing a Vanuatu sweater. It is Brandon Donlan. Did Chris give you that?
Oh, no. Etsy did. I bought this on Etsy relatively recently, within the last like year, and it got shipped to the wrong house in my neighborhood of Astoria, Queens. So I like went to the house. I'm knocking on the door. I put in the address wrong. I don't do anything right, listeners of the Specialist. I put in the address wrong. So I go there. I'm knocking. I leave a note. And then crazy, I get contacted by the person whose house it is. Their cousin runs like Survivor Ball State, like Ball State University. And is like, they know who you are. Like, we've been communicating. Brandon Allen showing up at my house. Not something a lot of people want to hear, but I got my sweatshirt back. I said, hey, can you throw it in an Uber? I didn't meet them. And they did, and now I have it.
I like that.
It's on Etsy. Why not get it?
I just have to say, I like that these people did such a kindness for you that you were like, good, throw it in an Uber. I'm not coming to see you. I don't want to see your face.
Well, you know, I had already gone to the house like three times. I'm not going to go to the fourth time to the house. So you can do like a – this podcast is sponsored to you by our friends at Uber – like courier. You can buy an Uber courier in New York City. I don't know if that's everywhere. Can you do that? Do you know?
Definitely can't in Florida. No, not in my part of Florida. I'm sure like down where D is maybe, but not where I am.
It's really convenient because you can just set it to like, it's like somebody will, you know, if you leave your phone charger somewhere, I don't know why you just wouldn't buy another phone charger, but you can, you know, it's also like, it's so much cheaper than a regular Uber, which is like, for me, like, why wouldn't I just book new, like, I'm the package that needs to go. You know what I mean? why wouldn't anybody do that? But
it's funny you bring that up. Cause when I was in LA back in last summer, so two summers ago now, I was out there and I was going to stay at Blake's infamously, who might be showing up on the podcast at some point here. I was going to stay at Blake's and he lives all the way on the east side. And I was staying at my friend's who lives down in Santa Monica. So it was a big gap. I mean, you're talking, if you live in LA, like Blake doesn't go to Santa Monica. Shockingly, you guys will hear this. Blake doesn't really go to the beach. So Blake doesn't get out to Santa Monica. And I left my water bottle behind and it was like this one, but it was blue. And I was like, damn, I got to get that back. I'm like, I'm going to have to drive over there. I'm going to have to figure it out. I'm going to Uber. And then my wife was like, you're going to Uber and do all that? Like, just buy a $10 water bottle. Like, what are you doing?
Was it sentimental? Did you have it in
just
like
a blue water bottle?
Sure.
But it was just like one of those you don't think about. It's like, that's my thing. I got to go get that. And then you're like, oh shit, they sell those everywhere. You can find one of those.
These kids love the water bottles. All these kids, once, you know, they're ending up in a landfill. You buy one and you have it for life. You unfortunately had to buy another one. But if you have the one, you should stick with your one.
I'm a big like pulling spring water bottle guy, you know, just keep on drinking out of those and keep on throwing those in the garbage instead of the recycles. That's what you're supposed to say, right?
And you say it tastes better. Then you like it better. And you know,
especially if you leave it in like your car and it gets hot. Perfect. Nothing like melted plastic. Here's Bryce Isaiah. I'm here for Brandon. I'm from Ball State.
If you go back and watch the tape, mid me telling that story, I am laughing at that comment. Back the tape. But yeah, Bryce is Ball State. Nobody knows Ball State more than Bryce. I don't even know what state that's it. Is that Illinois?
Hang on, I got to guess. It's one of the I states, I think. It's Illinois, Indiana, or Iowa.
Iowa actually is more familiar to me.
It's in Indiana. So wait, we both got it wrong. I knew it was one of them, but you went over two.
I wouldn't be good at Jeopardy, that's for sure.
No.
I love the chat. The chat's a great function. I'm going to click on stuff and I can't.
No, I have to do it. See, Brandon, now that he's big time over at, you know, doing his thing at RHAP, I'm here to click and make him feel like the peasant that he is again. Rizgod says Liz/Rizgod Stan Brandon.
I love that couple. They're my favorite Survivor couple, and it's not close. I enjoy Lizgod, I think, is going to make a Survivor appearance, whether it's 51 through 55.
Am I supposed to know who Liz is?
Lizgod is Rizzo's girlfriend.
Oh, okay. So I don't know who this person is.
Liz and Rizzo, Lizgod and Rizgod.
Damn. That's that. So you think Rizgod only dates her because her name is Liz?
Like, it is a weird convenience for him. You'd hope that's not the reason. I haven't seen data to support that it's not that reason. Mm-hmm. But it's great. If I had a cool nickname, I would want my girlfriend's name to rhyme with it.
I like this. I like, you know, the scene in the 40-year-old virgin, Gina, where it's like that. I see Rizzo going to speed dating, just being like, nah, it's not Liz. It's got to be Liz. Got to be Liz. Just keep going down. It's got to be Liz.
Do you know the first line of dialogue in the 40-year-old virgin is, have you seen, did you watch Survivor last night?
I know.
Or Survivor Tonight? They do a Survivor Tonight immediately.
Yep.
I know. Judd Apatow.
I'm telling you.
If you're watching. Right.
Yeah, he normally does tune in. I know that we were Kyle Fraser's number one podcast.
Sure.
And I'm sure we're Judd Apatow's number two. So we're close. We're right there.
Yeah. And normally he only watches for Blake, and Blake's not here. So he might tune in later.
Look, he's got to wait like 15 to 20 more minutes. Hopefully Blake gets here. Look, Blake's a mess. And he's saying to me, oh, I might be able to show up on time. I'm not going to be able to show up at all. Blah, blah. I'm like, the Lions play the Cowboys tonight in what is essentially an elimination game. Blake, I'm not waiting around for you to figure out your life. We're starting the podcast. If you show up, you show up. But, you know, that's that.
Are the Cowboys bad?
No, they played really well. They beat the Chiefs and the Eagles the last two games.
I was going to say, because my whole childhood, you know, I grew up in the Eagles territory, and they were always very good, I feel like, in the teens and early aughts.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Are you a huge Eagles fan, being that you didn't know if the – yeah, I was going to say, there's no way. You're wearing a Vanuatu sweater. Anyway, back to the Vanuatu story here. If that shows up at my door, I don't care if Elon Musk has it and could give me $1 trillion to give it back to him. That's mine. Like, you leave Vanuatu on my doorstep. That's your
problem. Well, it was funny. The girl who I texted with was like, I thought one of my friends got this for me, and I wanted to wear it because she opened it. And I was like, do you watch Survivor? And she's like, no. Like, why would anybody get that for you? Like, why? It's a bad gift. But for me, it's the best gift. And it was like $30 on Etsy. I want to have it. Why not have it?
Yeah. I like that. All right. Anyway, by the way, Survivor 49, episode 11, huh? We're going to dig deeper into that episode. Sure. 6.5 minutes in. I want to start this one off because, you know, Brandon, you're over in the chat, BCC group chat. And, you know, we've been talking about the alumni chat here for a couple of days now. We were bringing it up yesterday, bringing it up today. The link's in the description if you want to join. You brought up a good comment last night that Will and I forgot to bring up. And I feel like this got totally overshadowed because we actually had an hour and 15 minutes of content. Last night, Jeff tried to get Sophie Bellarity to do an impersonation of himself, and she did not do it. And that immediately got Brandon to get excited about that. So, Brandon, where does Sophie Bellarity stand for you in the upper echelon of like your Sandras, Tonys, Parvatys? Like, where's she at now?
There's something very powerful in an era of yes anders to just go no. Like, I'm not gonna take the bait. Now listen. And even this was said with the chicken and waffles song of 48. people tagged me in tweets that were like, if he asked you to do it, you'd do it. Talking about me. Of course I do it. There's no world in which I don't immediately yes and if Jeff is asking me something. So which makes me appreciate the folks who say no more. And that's the situation that we saw with Sophie, who politely, it wasn't even like just like a no, because I think a no is less endearing. But she was politely like, hey, I'm good. No, thank you. And well, then you have Steven to be like, I'll do it.
Well, and it's funny. So there was a time where, so I was a runner back in high school, college. There's a point to this story, trust me. And it's coming up with Sophie here. So I was a runner back in high school and college. And my senior year of high school, I went through like a funk where I wasn't running well. So my grandpa and his friend, who are both dead now, so I can tell this story because they'll never find out. So my grandpa and his friend played football at Penn State and was like, oh, I know this like whole hypnotherapy thing. It'll help. So I'm sitting there in this guy's house trying to get hypnotherapy because like he's like, it worked for players. I'm like, okay, let's try this. And you sit there for about 5 minutes and you're like, well, this shit's not working, so I better start pretending. I feel like, and so, you know, that's what I did. And I was like, sure, I'll just start repeating whatever you're saying. I'll feel like an idiot at first, but then eventually you just start repeating it. I feel like that's kind of what happened to Sophie here, where she was like, I'm going to try it. And then she was like, oh shit, like I'm not actually hypnotized. So no, I'm not going to do this because I feel like an ass. Go ahead. And Steven was like, dude, I was born for this shit. Let's go. But sure. I really appreciated that from Sophie.
Do you think this Steven volunteering was a 50 play? You think that that's the, if you, yes, you get on 50.
Here's my question. Even more important than that, Shaheen did the whole song and dance for Chicken and Waffles without being offered 50. What the hell would he have done on this season had that happened? I mean, he might've actually taken Jeff's clothes. Like who the hell knows? He would have been over there with the hat and everything on. But I don't think Steven actually cares all that much. I think Steven's just like, Steven's hitting the giddy stage right now.
He's really happy. Yeah. It's nice to have somebody that happy.
Yeah, it's weird. He kind of went from like, I'm just here to all of a sudden I've made it so deep in this game when I really shouldn't have. I feel like he's having a good time, which I can appreciate. It wasn't as cringy as fried chicken and waffles, but Sophie Bellarity just winning over our hearts. And, you know, you spoke truth there.
Shaheen gets a bad rap for, was he the instigator of the fried chicken and waffles? Or is like, why do we pin that on him when I feel like that was a group effort? And you're not the we, because I think that is a collective. We are all doing that.
I think it's because he was just the most over the top of it. I think he really started the chant and or at least caught on to the chant the most and started doing the weird arm dance and everything. People were just like, all right, that's enough of that.
I haven't checked the tape. I will go back and check the tape.
Yeah, please do. Because I'm not going to rewatch anything of 48 purposefully. So you go check it. You let me know.
Sure. But none of that last night. And if you're going to do anything, I get like doing the challenge in the voice, I think is fine. Although, you know, Steven doesn't do it all the way. He at one point was like, you're better at this than me. You should do this. I feel like you full commit.
Yeah, I think that's also one of those things where your ego is feeling good until all of a sudden nobody laughs. You start telling a story and nobody's smiling even a little bit. And you start saying, oh, shit, maybe I should just stop. I think that might have happened to Steven a little bit last night.
It's like when you pick a karaoke song that's too long. And you're in like the third verse of Bohemian Rhapsody and
in a God of the Vita.
People are on their phones. You're like, fuck, this was a bad move.
Yeah, Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. I saw that once of like a couple doing like a duet. I'm like, this was great for like the first 3 minutes. I'd rather just go listen to the song. Like,
if I'm gonna listen to it in the first place, it might as well be as Meatloaf intended.
Yeah, seriously. We got Josh Gilman here. Brandon with the mic is frying me.
Yeah. I'm that guy who hosted Match Game 76. Maria, the long mic.
The real long microphone. Yeah,
that's what this says. I'm going to hold it. Josh, for you, I'm going to hold it like this the rest of the time.
What's actually amazing is that's not even plugged in. There's nothing going on with that microphone. Brandon's just holding it. He just wants to.
Yeah, prop. I'm a prop comic. People ask how I prep for Survivor. I watch a lot of Carrot Top. And now I just had all these things I left at home. But here we are.
I mean, look, we're never even going to get to anything in this episode. Maybe when Blake shows up, we'll get on track. Although I don't think he even watched the episode, but it's like Brandon was telling me, we're talking about casting videos and stuff like that. And you were saying, it's like the whole Fozzie Bear scheme is what they wanted back when you applied. I mean, you're still doing it. You're still hoping the Waka Waka chicken over here.
They when I walked into the casting, they said, what Muppet can you do well? And I said, well, kind of all of them in a way, aren't I all of them? And they said, commit to one. I said, I'm Fozzie Bear. Seems fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody else you could be. Sorry. You're stuck in that. Unless you did Beaker, that would be a fun bit to really stick to. And just Beaker? Keep saying meep meep over and over again.
Sure. I hate a meeper. But I can see that. People get confused whether the Sesame Street, they count as Muppets.
They are Muppets.
But some people, I think, qualify them in a different way.
You want holiday trivia?
Please. You have some?
I do. Bert and Ernie.
You have the mic.
Bert, yeah, thank you. I know Tegwith said I'm only here for a second, but is Brandon hosting an open mic? Yes.
Where's everybody from?
Where's Bert and Ernie? What are they named after? The Muppets, Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street.
What are they named after?
They're named after two characters from a very famous Christmas movie.
I don't know. What Christmas is it? Okay, so I may
you can guess the movie. You don't have to guess the actual character.
Is it like It's a Wonderful Life?
It is. It's the cop and the cab driver. Those are Bert and Ernie.
I've never seen that shit, but what? I crushed that. I don't want to crush that. I was thinking Sesame Street is what? The 70s. I'm like, what Christmas movies are the 70s? It's that or Miracle on 34th Street.
How have you never seen It's a Wonderful Life, man?
I am. People see me and they say that guy's probably watched a lot of movies. And the answer to that's I haven't.
But you don't like sports either. So what are you watching? What are we doing?
It's the show that I performed poorly at. It was most of what I've consumed in my life. But yeah, I've seen about 20 movies. I know a lot about some movies, but I have not seen most of them.
Nice. All right. Well, you know Holes? Because Camilla and Kyle, you would have been final three on that season if you knew Holes. So that's
the first thing I said to Camilla upon meeting her was you and I would have really gotten along. There's nothing I love more than I've seen Holes 1,000 times.
Stanley Elnatz, man. Stanley. What a guy. All right.
We have to carry Madame Zeroni up the mountain. I tweeted after my program. I said, I must not have carried Madame Zeroni up the mountain.
No.
I feel like somebody should have told me to do that.
Somebody died like in the boat or something, right?
Yes. Kissing Kay Barlow. She has an overturned boat that she dies in.
Yeah, that would have been Brandon.
Yeah, well, it's nice to be out of the boat. I would have loved to have just stayed in the boat, on the boat rather. But what happened? There was Survivor was on last night.
Believe it or not, Survivor was on. Look, we already mentioned Chap ECC, so that's check mark. That's good. And then we already mentioned Sophie Bellarity, so that's good. So we've done two things we're supposed to do. We mentioned Steven, kind of. I guess let's ask this question because a lot of people were conflicted about this journey. Is it boring? Is it this? Is it that? Brandon, I don't really care how you felt about the journey. How long would it have taken you to do this journey?
It would have. So do you want the fun answer or do you want the real answer?
I want the real answer because I think a lot of people were saying it looked like Steven had an infinite amount of time based on how low that bag still was.
Yeah, I would have been fine. Would I have slipped and slid? It's the first time I've seen somebody else fall on rocks since my program. I think Steven had a wipeout on the rocks. But I would have been fine. It's walk it. I would have probably, my montage would have been, I bet, funnier. I probably would have had funnier commentary while walking. And that's the thing people missed out on.
I think that's so true because what's funny about last night's episode wasn't Steven's confessionals during this, but it was the fact that a lot of people are mad that he got 17 confessionals last night, which was funny because when I looked at the numbers last night, it said 9 and I said, okay. And then all of a sudden people are like, no, 17. I think it's somewhere between 9 and 17, but it doesn't feel like he got 17 confessionals because all of it was in this one part. And people have their stopwatch out going, oh, that was 10.01 seconds. That was 10.01 seconds. Yeah. I didn't feel like it was an overbearing amount of Steven. I felt like the story made sense. I think what made this interesting was Steven was kind of running, right? He was trying to jog. He was trying to do a bunch of different things. And then when he got back, that bag looked like it had not moved an inch from where it had originally started. And that's when I started saying to myself, I'm like, this was designed for anybody on the island to be able to do. If Christina goes, and I pick on Christina because Christina is the worst at challenges right now. But if Christina goes, she's accomplishing this task, or at least she would have had the opportunity. Time wouldn't have been the issue. Whether or not she physically could do it would have been the issue.
Right. And Steven did look like quite out of breath at parts, but I wonder if that was more going through like rough water or what have you. Like I think that this, yeah, it was designed for, I think I even said that in Chat BCC, is it did not look like the pot was a little bit different than when he started it. I would like to get from Steven at some point how long he felt like this took him, just because I'm curious. But I'm sure it was designed for, this is like at this point in the show with 90 minutes, like the getting the reward at the end is great, but I think this is built in for like a character moment for whoever goes to it. Mm-hmm. And giving them the choice of who goes is like, we don't care which one of you it is. Like, we need to fill 15 minutes and we can have one of you talk us through it.
And if Steven wins, good for them. They got the winner to go on this. But if Christina goes, you're getting a great story of the hardship and, you know, she can have the story with her mom and all of that. You're going to hear a lot from her. If Sophie Bellarity goes, it's going to be, this was a nightmare from day one and now I got to do this. If it's Savannah, she's going to say, I just keep fighting. I just keep doing this. Rizzo, I feel like his would have just been funny. I feel like you and Rizzo probably would have given a lot of the same from this type of confessional, because it would have been a lot of self-deprecating humor of, but I'm still going to get it done. And then you get it done and whatever. I feel like everybody had a built Sage. I'm doing this for Jawan. I'm pissed off. I got to pee. I got to poop. She would have mentioned that a couple times. And I feel like they, like you said, they don't care who goes on this. If this was going to be something that truly only one or two people could accomplish on the cast, they're going to try to probably bait it towards a certain person going, because they don't want, if the loss is you lose a vote, I don't think they want somebody in the minority three here losing their vote at this situation. So I don't know. I feel like Survivor's gotten to that point where puzzles, you're actually going to have a harder time more often.
I was going to say that. I think the Rachel on that little dock thing that they brought her to with those balls, I think that is almost harder to do.
Yeah.
Than, you know, and that time is whatever they, I've like things are falling in the ocean and the table was going to fall. I forget how long she had to do that, but I think that is a harder thing. I think I would have immensely more difficulty doing that than I would doing the Steven thing. It's just like and everybody is being so negative about the season. I think the season is like, the season is good. There are so many seasons of the show that are not good. Season is good. I did not think it was good for many weeks, but we have reached a point where it's good. The one of the flaws I think with the new era is, would I have rather just had like 15 minutes of them speaking at camp and like, don't let Steven leave and then just let everybody scramble for that amount of time? Like I'd strongly prefer that. Like this scene like was nice, but did nothing for me. Whereas like the off days that you have from seasons 1 through 40 of the days that nothing is happening, like let's try as much as we can to just go to where nothing's happening, because that's where people lose it or figure up new plans or don't like the plans they figured out and then do them again. That is what I would prefer.
I think like you're speaking a lot of truth on that, because I think that here's what my other problem is though. Would I rather watch Steven do this, or would I rather watch another pointless conversation over a little bit of food at the smallest table that I know doesn't matter? I feel like that's also happened too much, right? I think that's where they're filling the 90 minutes. And I actually think Steven's thing last night was pretty good. I couldn't believe how much time he had, but I thought it was fine, right? I thought it was a different change of pace. I'm big into mix it up. I think Survivors needed to mix it up for a while. And I think with the new era, they haven't been mixing it up. And that's been one of the biggest issues with the show.
Yes. But
what have I seen 1,000 times? Every time somebody wins a reward, it's you're going to eat peanut butter and jelly. You're going to eat hamburgers. You're going to eat toast. You're going to eat like a potato. Who cares? It's always at this little table. And the conversation is, would you be willing to vote this person out? Oh yeah, I would.
Yeah.
And then confessional of, I'm just lying to them. I don't want to do it. And it's the same exact beat at the exact same location every time. And I think that if the rewards were a little bit more on the go, I've said, we don't need sanctuary. We don't need this. There, you can't tell me there's not a village in Fiji that they can go bring supplies to a school there. Like you can't tell me that they wouldn't want to do that. And Jeff doesn't have to go, just hire a truck driver and go do it. You can do that. And I feel like that's the kind of stuff that's missing. And that's what I'd rather watch. So for me last night, when I'm watching Steven do this, I'm actually okay with it, because I'm saying this is different. This is something unique. He actually went around the whole island, whatever. Just give me something new. And I will say again, going back to the chat BCC group chat, if you want to see what Survivor players actually think, they're in there. And most of them are very negative about it. And I've been very surprised about it, because to me, I think since the Matt boot, this season has been great. I think that a lot of people are so negative about this season because of what happened early on. Look, we got to remember there's some shit. Like Amazon wasn't that good in the pre-merge.
Yeah.
Amazon's one of the best seasons. Vanuatu wasn't that good in the pre-merge. That's one of my favorite seasons.
Famously very bad. The first five episodes are horrible. But like people were waiting for it to have picked up, and I do think it has picked up. I think this was the weakest episode since it has picked up. But I do think we're now on a Survivor season that I think is baseline very good. It is in the midpoint of all seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than 44. It's better than 41. It's better than 42. I don't know where it stands with the other new era seasons, but I think it's definitely better than those. And I think, honestly, a lot of people forget how bad 46's pre-merge was. I remember Will was trying to argue with me that 49 is the worst pre-merge in the new era. And then we started talking about some other ones. And then we had forgotten about 40. 6. And I said, no, 46 is actually the worst one. You have nothing happen in that pre-merge. The Banu stuff gets so old, so fast. But that second half of that season is incredible. It's ridiculous with all the non-idle plays.
That came up with this season that I was a part of a conversation of. And I do prefer the 46 pre-merge times a million to this.
Really?
Just because I felt strongly about the 46 pre-merge. Mm-hmm. Like if you were annoyed at Banu for two episodes, you at least had a feeling. Whereas like episodes 1 through 5 of this was just like, for me, just nothing. Like it was so much nothing. The Jake events, like, were the most exciting thing. And like, you don't want your most exciting thing to be like a horrible thing that takes somebody out of the game, yeah, who like would have been an incredibly interesting person to see go further in Survivor. It was just like a slog for a couple weeks. Whereas like, you know, the first episode of 46 is like a Jelinski like stoner comedy. It's just like funny. Mm-hmm. The That's second true. Episode, I think, is you know, the random boot, I guess, is bad. The second boot, or the second episode, I think
the Jessica episode, the Jess boot is terrible too. That's
it is like 4 hours That's long. Terrible. That episode,
yeah, that episode into the Brandon medevac is horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah. The Brandon medevac was the first 50 minutes of my program, but the Randon medevac.
Watching you falter was entertaining. Watching Randon just hurt himself was not entertaining.
It is the worst medical evacuation in the history of the show. You just like slept weird. It's a tough one.
It's where Shamar's was there, and then this one beat it.
but I do think that 46 is like, I think, like elite tier Survivor. The back half, where this is good. It's not that, but I'm enjoying it more than I've enjoyed other ones for certain.
Well, where do you think this is going? Because I think that's what also has me the most entranced by this season at this point. Is I was doing my Patreon earlier, and I said there's 4 people who can really win, and I was really breaking down each person and what I thought their path was. I don't think Christina can win, and I don't think Sage can win at this point. Maybe you disagree with that, but where are you thinking it's going? Because I think that's part of the excitement.
Do you think Steven can win at this point? Yes,
absolutely.
That's an interesting thought. Why do you?
Will actually said last night that Steven is his favorite to win at this point.
I just don't feel like he was present enough. Like, maybe I'm wrong because I don't have the encyclopedia knowledge that I once had. But like, is there anybody who just wasn't shown in the beginning that then pops up in the middle and then wins? Like, I guess Erica. Is that like
Erica was way invisible though to a different level? Erica was invisible to the level of Sophie this season, where like we didn't hear from her at all in the entire pre-merge. Steven's been around, I think, a little bit more than you realize. I think if you went back and rewatched the early episodes, Steven's very present in those episodes. He just doesn't go to a tribal for 5 weeks or whatever it is.
Yeah, he feels to me like a boot that makes sense in like the fourth position. Maybe he like loses. You know, he has all this challenge content that maybe he loses it right at the end. You know, he could take it on a run and then it could be like the tragic story of that. I do not think that he can win. It is a hard sell just, you know, based on the edit that Christina could win. But I guess I can see a world where the other 4 can win.
So you think Sage can still win even after last night? Because I thought Sage's move last night was the end of her. I didn't like that move at all, but maybe you disagree.
No, I don't think that was a smart move. But I think it also helps to like, and maybe I'm incorrect, but like who has a bigger champion on the jury at this moment than Sage does with Jawan? Now, I understand people aren't happy with Jawan on the jury, so maybe they're not as keen on listening to him and his takes about the game. But I do think that it does help to, it's like the first person sets the tone for the jury. And like, you know, Rizzo and Savannah and Sophie Bilardi have all like sufficiently lost the Nate vote, you would think, unless they're all there at the end. But I wonder if anybody has that big of a cheerleader where that could potentially help Sage if she gets to the end. Because in a world where Sage gets to the end, even if she gets to the end with the other 2, like that loses the block of 3 all voting for the 1 of them. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think for me, the problem with Sage is I think Sage has made comments about how people don't really respect her game and they're not really liking her game. And so then when you make a move last night that was emotional and felt like it was purely for revenge rather than for strategic purposes, if you get to the end and any of Sophie, Rizzo, or Savannah are sitting there, I don't think Sage can beat them. Even if Jawan is totally backing her, I think her story pretty much draws dead against any of them. Depending on how people feel about Savannah, people are pissed at Savannah. Maybe that's a different story because she is the one who's, you know, at least been the most in your face when you're getting voted out.
I hear that. I do not think Sage can win by any means if she's with any of the above. But like, is there a crazy scenario where the other three or the final three? Is that anything?
Could. Why not?
I think this all hinges upon next week having Sophie Bellardi play that knowledge power and flipping it on those other two. Mm-hmm. And then maybe I can see it where, like, again, like edit wise, I don't know if we're even being like, it's we've had now 2 weeks of Sophie saying that she might do it. So it feels weird that she possibly wouldn't at all. But I'm unsure of where that dynamic sits.
And the editors have done a better job this season, because remember, they set up this Shannon Sage thing a lot in the pre in the pre-merge here, right? It was set up significantly that Shannon was, you know, pissing off Sage and Sage was going to vote her out. And they told you that story for a couple episodes before it actually came to a head. I mean, people are asking me, why can Sophie win if she doesn't steal this? I don't think she can. I think if she doesn't make a move, Sophie's not winning. But based on what I'm watching and what I know Sophie's capable of doing, I think she's going to make the move and I think she's going to win the game. But I think that right now, everything is perspective, right? It's sitting here saying she has all the ammo. I'm looking at the move she needs to make. I believe she's going to make it. If she doesn't make it, no, her story, since she got to the merge, she hasn't done anything. She hasn't really had to.
I do wonder, though, if in her current perception, if having her whole arc of the pre-merge, like, I do think, and forgive me if I'm incorrect, like, I guess Kenzie is on a disaster-esque tribe and makes it to the end, but like,
that was a disaster, yeah.
But this is like, Sophie, I think, was on the most disaster tribe if she makes it to the end, where I think that story maybe holds more weight. Where maybe she is thinking her story is better than, granted, like, Savannah is flashier and Riz God obviously is much flashier. But I wonder if in her perception that is story wise is enough. And like, you know, Savannah is pissing people off. I'm not sure. Like, it seems like everybody's leaving with Rizzo in good graces, even though Rizzo's been behind a lot of it. But maybe they're more mad at him than we can see that Sophie Bellardi is more privy to. But I'm curious of how that would work.
Yeah, I almost feel like if Rizzo weren't to make the final three, he might be being protected a little bit here by the edit. He's just so fun and lovely and everything. Get ready to watch him on 50. Aren't we so excited? Yeah. I could see that being the case, because right now, if Rizzo were to get to the end, I think a lot of casual viewers would be very confused as to why Rizzo didn't win, because he's not Russell. Yeah. He's not pissing people off. He's got control of the game. So he's not playing like a Jake or an Owen where you say, I like those people, but they're not really able to do anything. I think a lot of people would be confused why he didn't win at this point. So maybe there's a chance that he's not going to make it there. And that's ultimately why, you know, maybe he's being a little bit more protective. But one question I want to ask you here is, do you think that if Sophie does steal the edit, does she take out Savannah or does she take out Rizzo?
I think you take out Rizzo, I would think. I think it's just like Rizzo is like almost Rick Devonsy in the performances at Tribal Council, who I love. I can't get enough of Rick Devons. And I think that, like, for X amount of Tribal Councils in that post-merge game of Edge of Extinction, like, it's the Rick Devons show at Tribal Councils. Like, everybody else might as well not even be there. And I do think that that's the biggest resume tick of, like, this was the show and now I'm the show. I think that Savannah also, like, maybe there's a path to, like, smooth it with Savannah more afterward. But I think that, like, rather than, like, neuter Rizzo, I think I would just kill him. I think I that would be my perception.
I'm not letting my dog go to the vet with you. That's all I'm going to say. After the way you just said, not neuter him. Let's kill him. Let's get him out of here.
Because most of the time when people ask me what they do with their animals, I say it's one of the two. You got to do one of the two.
Yeah.
And if one's already done, well, it's the other one. But I do. That would be my move. I think more. You know, and this is something that I had talked about in casting. I think that I don't have like a necessarily like heavy strategic mind, but I think that I see like the story more than most. I think I'm like more in on the narrative of what's going on. And I think that that is a better narrative for Sophie to have of like, you know, this whole post-merge game has been dominated largely by, the, you know, one person, if it's Rizzo, who's just being a show. Like, why wouldn't you take the shot there?
And speaking of taking your shot, he's saying, hold on 2 seconds. That's his grand entrance, is saying, hold on 2 seconds. No, I agree. Blake can giggle and laugh and just be happy that he's finally here. But Brandon, I kind of agree with you, but then I'm also sitting here saying, does she think Savannah's a bigger threat? Because if Savannah is a bigger threat, then you should take Savannah. You take Rizzo's idol, you take Savannah out, then what can – Rizzo can't do anything at that point. He might have a good story, but he has sucked at challenges so far. Savannah's been pretty good. And so, you know, who are you trusting? Do you think he can really win a challenge plus make fire? I don't know. I don't know if I would – I think Savannah has a better chance of doing that than him.
I do think you take the bet, though, of, like, people on the jury. Like, at this point when this happens, like – you're assuming that Christina will end up on the jury at some point. Like, people on the jury are not happy with Savannah, a couple of them. I think you take that shot rather than, like, I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think the show is showing us that everybody likes Rizzo, whether they're protecting him or not, they might be. But I do think that it seems like everybody, like, respects his game rather than maybe less so Savannah.
It feels like, yeah, I feel like he gets the jury votes of, we're voting for who we like, they're voting for him. I don't feel like, I know some people felt that he showed up Jawan a little bit, but I don't feel like that's the case. I like how Blake's going like mid, half Brandon, half Phil with the glasses. And he literally got a haircut that said, I want to look like Phil. That's crazy. But I feel like right now, if you're saying he showed me up, I mean, last night when Sophie Segretti got voted out, Savannah went and turned her head and stared at her. And I was like, oh man, she is just like, I don't know if it's good strategy or not. I feel like it's not. But if Savannah wins the game, who the hell am I? We haven't seen this kind of stuff since Michaela pulled out the T. You know what I mean? Like, we haven't seen this kind of attitude at Tribal Council, and I appreciate it.
How much of that do you think is the 50 conversation halfway through? Do you you think so?
I think Rizzo's actually probably playing it up more for 50 than Savannah. Sorry, Rizzo, if you're here, but I think he is, because I think him getting up and talking in front of the class feels like a big time play up for 50. I don't know if Savannah was already doing this kind of stuff before him.
Sure, before him. Yeah, it's interesting that, like, you know, and this is a podcast where we say who's on 50. We talk about
100%. Why do you not do that on the other one?
I think it is avoided if we can, just because there's some people I think that are just more general that don't know, but
I have a t-shirt that says Rizzo Savannah for 50. So we're good.
I do wonder if, like, we think that because we know they went to 50, but, like, is everybody else doing their, like, I think Steven doing this at the immunity challenge, I think that is a 50-esque.
Yeah.
Like, just a, let me volunteer is, like, you know, if your teacher says that, you know, somebody's going to get a homework pass at the end of the day, like, I would go get the chairs and put them away also, you know?
Yeah.
I see that. And we only are getting the perception that they're doing it is because we're being shown them much more, but who knows?
Who knows? All right. Do you want to let Blake in or no?
Did that look like I froze? No, Blake.
It looked like you honestly just had enough. You're over here. You were pissed, right? You said, why is Blake not giving me the time? Like, does he think he's better than me? That was what you kind of texted me. It was kind of messed up. Yeah.
I said, I am God. I said, and then Blake's somewhere else. Blake, where were you?
I was quoting Vertical Horizon. It was a really weird 5 minutes.
My Spotify Wrapped the other day, Vertical Horizon all over it. Couldn't be more on it, Vertical Horizon.
Oh, man. Shit. I hope all of you just thought about Vertical Horizon for the first time since 1998. All right, Blake, talk.
I'm having a Brandon Donlan type of day. All right. Let me just tell you, I got a sub job, and it was one of those things where it was like, today's the day where I hope I have 5 hours to plan out my day. And I had 15 minutes instead. Mm-hmm. And then there was a crazy kid at school that I was like, let me write all kinds of stuff. And I was like, I'm going to go to this job fair after this. And then the tickets were sold out. And I was like, oh, crap. And then I was like, okay, I'm not going to that anymore. Let me stop at this bar for a beer. Let me check in on the Brandon, Donlan, and Phil, see how it went. And then it said, goes live in 36 minutes. And I was like, how dumb am I?
When you
so
said
I had to close out immediately, drive home.
Drunk.
Yeah. 65 beers in.
When you said you had a sub job, I wasn't clear if that was like a Jersey Mike's situation you were
substitute
at school
teaching, because we're going to try and be a teacher one day. That way, when I get on Survivor, I can go. I didn't want to tell you guys, but usually I deal with eighth graders.
Yeah.
And that's unstoppable at Final Tribal Council.
People dig that. Not a lot of teachers in the new era. Little teachers in the new era.
Who's everybody's favorite teacher
that's been on Survivor?
Yeah, I don't care about your real life. Come on, I wouldn't know.
I was gonna say you don't know Mr. Matt. I mean, is like, who's the other teacher? Like, Tommy's the only teacher that I can
think of. Tommy, man. Teaching time with Tommy.
What about that one guy from Edge of Extinction?
Oh, Ron Clark.
Yeah, he's Ron the most Clark, famous I think, more teacher of all time.
Being in administration, but I think he's one of the world's best teachers, famously. I think Oprah deemed that.
Dude, maybe you can get me in, bro.
It's because Oprah hasn't met Tommy yet. That's the only reason.
Yeah, and we can arrange that. You were going to talk about that at the end of the show.
That was our next deal that I had to bring up here. It's the season of giving, so Tommy and Oprah. anyway.
Well, yeah, I'm not Blake, trying to derail everything, but...
Our first 9 minutes were not about anything. Our first great. 9 minutes were pretty much about Brandon was just... I don't even know where we went. I forget what we even talked about.
Yeah, how are you doing, Brandon? Do you have all your holiday shopping going? Did you get a raise from Rob Haz?
I have not bought anything yet. The problem with this, all the sales that happen, your Cyber Mondays, your Black Fridays, is I just want to buy me stuff. You know what I mean? Right. It's hard to want to buy anybody else stuff when everything's so cheap. So I'm waiting, but who knows what kind of deals I'll score up.
Have you finished all your pumpkin pie in the fridge?
I'm not a pie guy, but did I finish? I brought to my girlfriend's house. I brought donuts for if you're in the Philadelphia area, Federal Donuts. You got to get them. You know Federal Donuts, Phil. You've been there?
No, I haven't.
Delicious donuts. And I brought those, and we did finish those just the other day. We brought them.
Are they just pretending everyone is a teacher in the chat, by the way?
They are. Well, Mitch is. Kyle was like,
Mitch was a mailman.
Mitch was a mailman, correct. Mitch is now a gym teacher. Kyle, I think, was a teacher, is now not a teacher.
So really, Blake's doing this wrong to get on Survivor. He should have started as a teacher, but now he's going the wrong direction.
You guys would never have guessed this, but I was a teacher. It would be a crazy mic drop. You'd be like, okay. And
I thought that was you literally just saying you were a teacher too. And I was like, when you were like 22 or something?
I would have been a great teacher, but I did not. I did not pursue. I had an English. I almost majored in English. I don't know where I would have. I might have just still been here. Nothing would have changed. But
I'm going to be honest, man. You're doing better for the world anyway than being a teacher. You know, you do a podcast stuff.
I guess you're going to write a book eventually because you work at Rob Haz. So that'll be what kind of book do you want to write?
I'd write any kind of book. I'd write a coloring, perhaps. You could do that. I think minimal effort on my part. To
oh
do that.
My gosh.
You could color.
If I you love- give Hannah Rose a Red Bull or something.
She loves her. Listen, her and I have thrown up back a couple RBs and we've crushed them. Neither of us drink alcohol. So RBs are the next best thing.
I love like, that. You don't want to be unhealthy. Drink Red Bulls. That's better.
Better than my Coke Zero intake. Are you, Blake, enjoying the season of the program, or you're out?
It is interesting because here's the signpost of who you're supposed to root for. And I've gone all in on, I actually really like Savannah. Anytime somebody wants to be like, she's not great, or like, I hate this mean girl energy, I'm like, yirakatata. Like, this is what I like in Survivor, of like, whenever Savannah is like basically goading oh my gosh, Jawan, goading him into being like, oh, do your over the top, like, I got you, girl, because I'm gonna do it right back to you in your face. Everyone was like, I don't understand that. Does she not want to win? And it's like, these are all of my favorite players from the last 15 years of like people just doing that. Like, I don't care about winning in this moment. I'm trying to rock-a-ta-ta in Jawan's face here. I don't know a better word for that, but it's like, I don't think not it's, I don't think it's rubbing his face in it or anything, but it's more of like a, yeah, we were both trying to kill each other and I'm letting you know I killed you.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of being like, I didn't mean to, I sadly vote to get rid of Jawan. Sure. Like, I hate that energy. This is so much better.
Same people that are clamoring like every social media, and they're tagging Jeff of like, we want villains. It's the same. It's the Venn diagram is a circle of them. They're the ones who are tagging Savannah and sending her mean shit. Like, you know, you're hard, or whatever. Like, you, the reason that we don't have villains, I believe, it's not Jeff. It's because it's like, you can't handle it. It's like, you, the viewer, like, we are at a place now where we don't, like, you, I shouldn't say we, because I'm not included in this, like, you don't want to see that. You think you want to see it, and then you get upset when you see it, and then it's your first, you pull out your phone, And then your first DM is to this person telling them they're horrible. We have progressed past the point where we can all handle it. And the show that they are making with everybody who's very nice and could get a job in any job interview, like that, we have to have that because of you.
I 100% agree with you. I've been saying this for a while now on the show. I think that a lot of times the reason we're not getting villains isn't because people aren't willing to be villainous. It's because people don't want to lose their livelihoods over a TV show. And I think that that's becoming a really big thing. I think the people who are playing the game are smart enough. You're not getting your Drew Christies anymore who are coming on the show and have no idea what the repercussions of being on reality TV could be. Everybody knows what the repercussions of being on reality TV could be. I mean, you think about somebody like Savannah. That's why I'll give Savannah even more credit. Savannah is somebody who was already a former reporter, already on TV, already a news person, already knows what can come with that. And she's coming out guns blazing anyway. She doesn't care. And I think that's something that's missing here, because it's the same thing. Like, I always bring up my dad as the example, because my dad and mom have been watching the show forever. They don't listen to my podcast. They don't do anything. They just watch the show once a week. That's what they do. They wouldn't be able to name a single person on season 45 if I paid them $1 million. And it's, oh, Christina's so boring. I don't like her. I'm tired of this overdramatic BS. And then it's Rizzo and Savannah are bad people as soon as they stand up. And it's like, what do you want then? If you don't want Christina and you don't want Rizzo and Savannah, what do you actually want? It's gotta be something.
Yeah. And I give so much respect to people like Savannah who go out, and especially like folks who have watched now 8 seasons of like relatively the same thing filled with like heroes. I think, like, you know, D, who people cite as like a villain, is a game player, and I like villainous because she was willing to do whatever. Like, I think everybody's impulse is to just kind of be what they've seen, and I think Savannah is a new iteration on that.
And I want to click this real quick because it talks about how great I am. It's John Millsap said, Phil said on the chat BCC last night that Sage's response at the beginning of the episode, exactly what the new era is missing. Blake saying, who cares? But then again, Blake showed up 30 minutes late here.
Oh, my God. Okay, so there's 70.
I said that, and Kelly Wentworth said, you know, Savage's middle finger says hello to you. And it's like, no, like, I get why people would be aggravated by Sage's overreaction to the Sophie situation. I get that. But also, I want Sage being bitchy and pissed off. I want that. That's what it's supposed to be. All right, Blake, now you can talk.
Okay, cool, because this is going to be really relevant 30 seconds after we do this.
Yeah, man.
There's 70 words I would say about D before I would say villainous. Like, I think that's an overreaction from the fan base, too. And I think it is something where everybody could relax a little bit more and just be like, oh, this is kind of fun to watch. Like, I could relax a little bit of like, wow, this person's going through a really hard moment in their life and they are not going to be survivor strong all 26 days because they really miss their mom here, or they really miss Applebee's. And it is like these moments, I can't do the, how did she get cast on the show? Cause this is I like the whole gamut of human emotions where it's like, this is how we get villains. This is how we get people that are cracking. Like, that looks so different for everybody. And like, I think that's a positive, not
who would you say the most villainous person of the new era is?
I mean, the fact that nobody jumps out immediately is kind of bad. And it is kind of like Q.
But even like, Q is like fun. Like,
yeah.
But back in like the villain, how
Q
much
you straight up laughed at Liz though? Like, he's as bad as it gets.
I see that the chat is saying Rome, and I think that I'm more inclined to go Rome than, because I just think if you think of like the season 20 villains, like Rome is like a Corinne villain, which I think is a different type of villain than a Parvati villain. Like, I think that you could throw D in the Parvati villain bucket, you could throw Shan in the Parvati villain bucket, whereas like, I don't know what the viewing audience wants. I think they want, like, it doesn't seem like they want either, because it's like they didn't want Rome, and they don't want Savannah at this moment. So it's go ahead, Phil.
I was just gonna say, for me, like, I don't necessarily, I think Rome was probably way more over the top, right? Rome felt like he was more in your face. I'm following you around, I'm being annoying. But Rome was also just like, he's an aggressive dude. Like, that's what he's gonna do. Whereas I feel like with Savannah, what has she really done that's so terrible? Laughing in Juwan's face is like great TV. That's what we want. We just watched Karam Owen for the Patreon. We just recorded everything. Brenda making Dawn take her teeth out is one of the most insane things you'll ever see in your entire life. And you sit here and you say, oh, we don't want villains, we don't want this, we don't want that. Back then,
Brenda was voted second in fan vote behind only Malcolm. Yeah. Like I think people just forget. And then when they say they want villains, everybody wants their villains very boxed, right? They want their Parvati villain, but then they see Savannah do it and they almost say, oh, she's a poor man's Parvati. Well, she's really not. She's playing a very similar game. She's just not being flirty. But like in terms of how she talks about people, it's somewhat Parvati-ish, but that's really it.
I don't even see that comp. Like, I think that Savannah should like feel very good that I don't think that her thing has happened before. Like, I don't think her thing is Parvati. I think people have been in the new era that are closer to Parvati than Savannah is. I think Savannah's her own very unique new thing.
Who would you compare her most to? Do you have anybody that comes to mind? Because I know you have encyclopedic knowledge of 15th placers, but
yeah, I lose it once people start doing well. I don't know. Like, I think that. I don't know who Savannah, like, maybe there is no answer. And maybe I do think that, like, if there was an immediate answer, I think that a lot of people who cycle through Survivor, who are women who are doing well on Survivor, get filtered right into the Parvati bucket. And I don't think that Parvati is, I think people are like Parvati, but I don't think Parvati should be like the catch all, where I think that we're seeing a side of Savannah that is not like Parvati, and I don't think it's anybody. And I think that's a great thing. I think that's what you should strive for in casting, is to get somebody who is going to be the person that in a couple years from now, everybody's saying in casting, I want to be like Savannah rather than like, you know, I want to be like Parvati and what have you. Like, everybody's going to say that for the rest of the time, but it's good to add somebody else in that conversation.
I agree with you. Cause I think you're onto something there. I know there's comparisons have been made, but it is also just so funny how the reaction is so different. I mean, I think that the internet is mostly negative on Savannah right now. And I get it's fine to love to hate, right? I'm all about, like, there's certain players that you watch where you say, I can't stand this. Abby Maria is one of those for me. I think Abby Maria is so obnoxious on both of her seasons. But at the same time, you're going to tune into what antics is Abby Maria going to do next? What stupid thing is she going to do that's going to make me so mad? But there's an entertainment to that. I'm not going on the internet saying, man, I hope bad things happen to Abby Maria and her entire family. And I feel like that's kind of like the world we live in now, where I think a lot of people just get frustrated and just want everybody to have bad things happen to them for really no apparent reason. But with this one especially, I feel like Savannah has probably crossed lines to win the game, but she hasn't crossed a single line in terms of, I mean, Courtney Yates got to come back and play on Heroes vs. Villains, one of my favorite players of all time, a lot of people's favorite player. And she's, the way she talked about Denise on that season was insane. It was insane. Savannah hasn't done anything like that.
No, not at all. There's somebody in your chat, Daryl Seymour, saying people like Parvati, Boston Rob, and Coach aren't villains. Like, they haven't done anything evil, quote unquote. Right. And like Rome, I guess, hasn't done anything evil.
I feel like Lex would disagree with that.
Yeah,
I mean, but it, like, that's like compelling what the show is. Like, and I think that Savannah also is like doing things that are within the confines of the show. And I guess that Rome didn't do anything within the confines of the show, like outside of the confines of the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think he's in a different box than the folks that we're talking about here. But yeah, I think that it's like it's a point of, like, Savannah should be very happy with, I think, the edit that she's getting and the way that she's playing Survivor. I think a lot of people, you know, myself included, like, oh, what I would have given to have been in a position where those things could have happened. Mm-hmm. And that's not like a self-pity thing. I think that's just like she should be immensely proud of herself for how that she's done all of this. And like, everybody who watches, who's upset, like, they're not anything. Like,
they don't matter. Yeah.
You know, they don't matter.
It's like Ben Katzman always says, they're 15-year-olds without a picture. They're just yelling at you.
When I hear that, I got a lot of people who have active LinkedIns with families. I think that the 15-year-old sat it out, but I got a lot of very frustrated adults who have a Roth IRA. They were incredibly upset at my situation. if I fell on the podcast out of my desk chair, nobody would ever forget it. Put it in the best moments of the year.
I wish you would have immediately after saying that people with families and Roth IRAs hate you, if you would have immediately just face planted or something.
Whoa.
It would have felt scripted.
It would have been very Don Knotts of me. but that is, that's my take. Yeah. I think that a lot of the, you know, I hear everybody's frustrations about the new iteration of Survivor. And I do think that the viewing public is at fault for some of it.
I agree.
I do not think that we are innocent as a group of people. I think that there are people on that team that want to make the show that we all miss and we want to make. And I think there are things that prevent them from doing it. And I think the internet, I think like the current political state is how we got there. I think COVID is how we got there. I think the world has just changed in a way that people want to escape and see happiness. Whereas 20 years ago, and this is not my take, Rob said this, many people have like reheated the same nachos, but like 20 years ago, the world's kind of okay. So you want to see some people kill each other on TV. Like, I think the inverse has happened where this has to be like a more of a retreat-esque show because that's what the world, like, that's what I think they find that people want.
And I actually think that, I think you're onto something there, but I think something also dramatically changed in Survivor that changed everything, because you have to think season 37, Angelina, everybody loves Angelina, right? Everybody Angelina's loves. Come back to play for 50. Everybody loves her. She's a villain for sure. Dom's a villain from 36. 38, War Dog's a villain. I think people liked War Dog a lot. I think when Dan Spilo did his thing in Island of the Idols, I think that changed the way the Survivor community just views villains. I think that now, anytime anybody does anything remotely bad on the show, people are like false equating that they're just like really bad people because they've actually seen a really bad person on Survivor. And I think that changed people's minds where now you know that like there's a peek behind the curtain. And then around that time also, you're having the news that comes out with Eric Huffman. You're having the news that comes out with Silas. Like, you're starting to hear some of these horror stories from before this. You're seeing that Varner's not really apologetic in things that are going on in his regular life. And so you start to question, is Survivor actually putting really bad people on? And I think then when COVID hits and with the political state that we are in, I think a lot of people do start getting into this negative. I want to attack. I want these people down. And you start false equating again, people who aren't actually villains to people who are.
Yeah, I hear that. I absolutely. It's an interesting, I've never thought about that in that context, but I hear that.
One next layer for that, for somebody that has a radio, television, film, media degree, of like, some people can't change their mind of like, this villain has really cool clothes and a really cool car, but the villain's going to do something despicable in this movie. And can you go, oh, that villain's really cool? And people go, he literally sexually assaulted somebody in that movie. Like, how do you think that villain's cool? And it's like, no, he has a cool car and a cool, and it's like, but he did something so heinous. Like, how can you, and you're like, can we separate? Usually people do separate the author from whatever, but that's different. That's personal, whatever, where it's like, yeah, I'm supposed to think the villain is cool. And then when he does something heinous, there's a moral dilemma that makes the art of this art sing, mm-hmm. of like, oh, it made me feel something or whatever. And I know that's like really boiled down to talking points for social media, Twitter posts, but that's like a full on thing of, if you're not feeling something from this, like, I'm not saying we need to find more despicable people to put on TV. But if I can't go, I think Savannah's hilarious. And
yes,
she was kind of mean to Christina that one time, right? When she asked her a point blank question or phrase, you're like, both of those can be true. Like, I like this for a different reason. I don't think we should be shaming people of like, oh, why do you like them? Do you know that that made somebody feel bad in a game for $1 million? And like, making somebody feel bad in a game for $1 million never came up in the conversation in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. Like, and that has been such a Big Brother thing. Like, there was a season of Big Brother where it was a, we can't go back because this was so despicable. But in a game for $500,000, in a game for $1 million, you've played this, Brandon. If somebody, like, in your group of six, if somebody said, I know Brandon's having a bad day today, I'm going to make it worse. Because if he quits, I get closer to $1 million. Probably not your favorite person in the game, but that's behooves him because I'm trying to win $1 million. If Brandon quits, my tribe gets stronger and we can go forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't even think that I am clamoring for like, people who are like despicable. I want a world where Savannah can do what Savannah's doing on this show that we're all watching. And then the feedback is not pitchforks on Savannah's Instagram comments. You know what I mean? Like, I like where we are now, and I want people who go on the show to feel empowered to do this. But I feel like people are less inclined to do so when they see the reaction of folks who are not doing anything that's near the stuff we've even seen,
yeah.
you know, season 39 aside, but like the things that we've seen on the show predate, like Dawn and Brenda is a great example of like, we've seen much, much worse. And I wish we could get back to a place where we're just like, we're seeing Savannah do this and either you have no reaction to it or your reaction is, oh, that's funny. Or, you know, I'm enjoying that.
Or like tell your parents or whoever you're watching with, God, I hate her. And like, let it be that. Why do you feel like, why do you feel the need? I mean, especially now the Twitter algorithm, whatever the hell it's called, the algorithm is so bad that nobody who follows you is actually going to see it. And you're probably going to get between 1 in 7 likes anyway. Yes. So why are you feeling the need to just go and scream that from the mountaintops? And that's where since we started doing this podcast, I always tried to keep like a, let's try to think about this from both sides. I just think that it's crazy. I mean, we started in season 30. We had Rodney on that season. We had Joaquin on that season, right? Like we had Will Sims and Dan Foley on that season. Then you get to 31, you have Abby Maria, and people are excited when she votes out Savage. They're pumped that Savage is going home and she's mouthing off at him and he flips her off. Like Cass is on that season. And now we can't even handle just somebody laughing in somebody's face when they're getting voted out. Do I think it's a game-winning move? No, I think it's a bad move on her part to laugh at Juwan, to stare down Sophie. But at the same time, if that's what she wants to play it, I'm not going to sit here and say, man, this Savannah person, she's got issues. Like,
but also, like, that is what we want. That is what I want out of the television product. Like, my favorite thing about this show is that people are going to be themselves. So, like, when they need to, like, that you can only hide you for so long. And if that's, like, Savannah's inclination, it's not for camera. It's just, like, in this situation in life, if something similar would happen, this is what she would do. Like, that's why, one, you cast Savannah, and that's why you that's why she's doing this on the show. Like, that's why it's compelling TV. And I don't like not getting that.
Yeah, I agree.
The last clear example, too, of villain stuff where everybody was like, let's go, was Thomas being like, she gave you this clue. Does she know we have it? Mm-hmm. We should rip it up and lose it. And if the person right next to him said, yes, let's rip up Star's clue, that's way cooler than anything that happened with the clue. That's way cooler than Star giving the idol to somebody that doesn't use it. It is just a, oh, how do we cast somebody that when they hear Thomas say, should I make the craziest anti-move of cluedom ever? They don't go, no, we can't do that. They go, good idea. Yeah. And then like, oh, but Star would be ostracized. She wouldn't have a fair chance. Like, she didn't mean that. It's a game for $1 million. I feel like we've lost that edge. And I feel like that's because we're casting for, we can't be like, they're all's fair in love and war, but there's also a bunch of rules now of like,
yeah,
we gotta be, we're all trying to be in Rent, you know, and everybody's going to have different parts, but some of us are going to be the lead. Like, these are the two people that are going to make final tribal and you guys will just go around sixth place. And it's like, that's what I deserve.
I've said this in previous places, but Thomas is the person that I've enjoyed watching the most on Survivor in the new era, and maybe longer than that. Like, when I for X amount of years was picturing myself on Survivor, like, I wanted that. I want, like, what Thomas did is what I, for every day up until the day I got there, thought I was going to do. Yeah. And then my situation worked out the way it did, fine. But watching Thomas is the most that I've enjoyed watching Survivor since I've been on it. Is just seeing somebody just do so much of, like, it's confessionals, it's the maneuvering in the game, like, no matter what the finish is, which is early, like, he did exactly what I always wanted to see on Survivor. I just thought it would have been me who I was watching do it. But he really did a great, and I hope the first second there's a theme to bring people back who went early, I hope he is the first.
Yeah, I agree. I think Thomas is probably their biggest miss. I think Jesse even said that was a missed opportunity for them. And that was a player that they had high hopes to go deep or something like that. And he didn't. Either Jesse or Jeff, one of them said that when they were talking about, you know, does it ever not work out the way you anticipate? And I think Thomas gave you pretty much everything you could have wanted from that character on that season. You got exactly what you thought you were going to get from Thomas. It was just early. So, yeah, I feel like that's a good discussion that we're having here around the villains and stuff. And I do think that there's also a little bit of jealousy that's going into this right now. Look, we just rewatched AU versus the World, where that was spoiled so long ago. And a lot of the people who knew Parvati was going to win were super excited about it. And there were some people who were not happy about it at all. And that led to this kind of like, oh, some people are loving this season more than they probably should. And some people are hating this season more than they probably should, because they already know who's going to win because they read the spoilers. And I do feel like that might be happening with Savannah and Rizzo here a little bit, where it's, we know they're going to be on 50. So we're going to hate them a little bit extra because we're almost annoyed that they're going to be on 50 and they took the spot from somebody else. Because I don't think there's anybody in the world except for Savannah, Rizzo and their parents who was happy that they were going to take spots on 50.
I hear that. But I also like, that is the fault of the program for teasing it this whole time rather than like, and I don't know what the solve is other than just not putting them on there. Like, I'm excited to see them like at this point in the season. It's kind of been dull up until a few weeks ago. Like the only thing I'm excited about is seeing how these two people that I'm getting to know now fare with all these people that I've loved for 20 years or also like my friends. You know what I mean? Like that part is interesting to me. But it is a hard thing for them to have teased it, for us to all have figured it out over the summer. Like it, you know, it's a shitty position for us to be in watching it, is just having to know. Like my mom is the only person I think in America who has no idea. And like, you know, after Jake gets medevaced, she calls me. She's like, I think Jake's going to 50. I said, Mom, you're not going to lose. You're fucking right. Buckle up. And then MC gets voted out. My mom's like, I think it's Jake and MC. I'm like, Mom, you fucking crushed this.
And here's what makes me happy. You're saying that while you're wearing the Vanuatu sweater in honor of Chris Doherty, who told his wife, no, I got voted out of Final Seven. Oh, she found out Final Seven episode that he didn't get voted out Final Seven. So your mom is going to be shocked. Hopefully she's not listening to this podcast. If she is, go find something better.
Did your mom watch your season?
Yeah, of course. My mom has watched with me for forever. Like,
does she think you're on 50?
What's that?
Does she think you're on 50?
Well, I did stop talking to her for about 8 weeks in the summer. Unrelated, though. I don't know where she thinks I was, but no, I'm kidding. She does. She, you know, she's very excited for my buddies who are there. But it is a shitty thing that everybody knows, and everybody knows so fast. It's like the thought that I had about Jake, which is unrelated, but like, if they really wanted to, like, in this era of social media, like the last thing like this Jake thing that happened was, I guess, Beast Mode Cowboy, which is 2016.
Yeah.
The Survivor social media sphere, I'm there, but nobody else is there. But they should have paid Jake a lot of money to just not post anything up until like cast release, first couple episodes, like not give the illusion that he died, but lean into the mystery of where Jake is. And then you fucking, on Thursday after that episode, you're bang, here's Jake. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how much of a price tag you put on that, but it's the same thing with the Rizzo. Like, there's no way to not know. But I wish people didn't know. I wish we all didn't know. Like, I'm operating under the assumption that we all know. But then I'm like, I read Survivor Reddit just like everybody else does. And I see people who don't fucking know.
I know, it's crazy.
For this long.
We got so much shit a couple weeks ago where people are like, we didn't know. I can't believe you're saying this. I'm like, we've been putting them in thumbnails since May. Like we have not been out. We did an entire Brant steal where I think Savannah went very far. Like we have been talking about it very openly, but again,
Rizzo,
I think you're
Rizzo
right.
Got fourth place.
Was it Rizzo? Whatever it was. It's like, I think people, like, there are people who just really only watch in a certain way. And maybe now they're starting to discover podcasts, or just they're starting to discover Survivor Reddit, all these different things. And, you know, they don't have Spoiled Survivor hearted like Blake does. Yeah. And so they don't know these kinds of things. It's always my favorite, because he always knows it's coming and it's always going to ruin his night. But it's one of those where the Jake thing, how can you pull it off? You really can't, because you can't have this guy pretend he's dead, right? Like, that's so hard to do.
I hear that.
But at the same time, the Savannah and Rizzo thing, I think the killer of the situation is, we knew it was going to be two people from 49. If you didn't know that there were two people from 49, would we have found out? Absolutely. I can't pretend I'm not going to find out. I go on Inside Survivor. I'm going to see it. He's going to post it. But there wouldn't be this speculation from all of the other people in the community going, who is it? And then you get the asshole who goes, oh, it's Rizzo and Savannah. Like, you know, like the people who genuinely don't know and want to know are asking that question.
Yeah.
And they're being told immediately who it is, because everybody knows. If you had just never said that there were going to be people from 49, maybe we all would have been a little more hush hush about it.
It's the same with the villain thing that I think I'm like, you know, the problems that exist in this world, like look to your left and your right in the Survivorverse. Like it's one of your people is guilty. Like I think that it's people who are just ruining the fun for everybody else. Of like a thing that has brought so much joy to all of us, you know, myself included. It's just like it's shitty to have the fun suckers. But yeah, they put themselves in an impossible situation. Like if they before millennials versus Gen X were like we pick two people. Like I guess that's a little bit more fun because like Michaela's pre-jury and Zeke's out early. Like I like that more. But really, like the thing that I'm most excited for now watching the back half of these episodes is like, oh, these are people that I'm gonna spend X amount of weeks with in the spring with all these people that, like, you know, you see how much Rizzo loves the show. Rizzo's talking about fucking Ozzy in a confessional 3 weeks ago. And he was going to potentially meet Ozzy on the show. Like that's for me, really good narrative storytelling. I understand why people don't like it, but I'm
it's
excited
also, like,
to see.
Don't meet your hero sometimes. Maybe.
Well, that also. And then to see, you know, you see Savannah have that conversation with Christina, which we all are talking about online and people have their varying, you know, perspectives on. I think it's entertaining TV, certainly. Right. Like then Savannah's gonna go do that with Angelina, you know what I mean? Like that's good TV, you know? Like that's the lens that if you're frustrated about knowing, I think that's the lens that watching the show has been helpful for me, is just picturing that.
And I said a couple of weeks ago, like I feel like we need killers on the show. Like everybody has to be a killer. Everybody has to have that instinct of just nope. Like when Savannah has that approach, you need the person to go, are you talking to me right now? Are you out of your mind? And not in a confessional. I'm saying, who are you talking to? Right. Cause I always say this, like with Pearl Island, you have two of the best villains of all time on that season. And that's what Fair Play and Sandra. And they just scream at each other the whole season. Great. Yeah. And they go to final three together. Like that's amazing. And I think that when you sit there and you watch Savannah, you want the reaction to her to be an aggressive comeback. And that's what I hope 50 kind of brings out in people. Cause if Savannah tries to pull that shit with Stephanie LaGrossa, it's not going to happen. If she tries to pull that with Q, it's not going to happen. And that's the kind of stuff that I think I'm most excited for. I agree with you, but I think that that's also just where the casting is at right now. I'm not saying Christina's not a good person. I'm not saying that, you know, somebody like Sophie Segretti, I think Sophie Segretti had a little bit more of a killer instinct than maybe it was let on, but I hope that 50 brings out all these personalities where they say, oh shit, it is better when it's a villain versus a villain, when it's conflict versus conflict, when it's somebody whose ego is so big that earlier when I read that comment off the chat, instead of letting Blake talk, he threw like a fit on here and then I have to troll him. That's the kind of personalities we want though, right? We want me to troll Blake because I know it's annoying him and him to have the big reaction, but that's not happening on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, I mean, yeah, it's a nuanced thing. I think in the casting world of like, I think there's only a few people in the new era who are just like unwinnable in terms of the idea that they beat the 17 people they were there with is like a logical impossibility. Like I think that number is less than 5, maybe less than 3. It's higher than 1 because I've met the one many times, but I can't say, but I'll tell you when we're off the thing. There's one person, like, it's unbelievable to me that like the idea that 70 people would have had to fuck up so dramatically in a row for you to have won. It's nobody on my Survivor.
There would have been that earthquake like Vanuatu where everybody actually died in the earthquake except for that one person.
Yeah. And even if everybody but two people died, it's like that other one's got it. I don't know how they would fix it, but the other one's got it. I think that, like, everybody has the killer. And I think it's just like the way the merge breaks is like we're seeing Savannah's killer instinct and Rizzo's killer instinct. But like if it breaks a different way, this whole story is Christina's killer instinct. I mean, who knows? Yeah. But I think there's just, you know, it's the most boring thing to say on a Survivor podcast of like how much of it is, you know, it's luck and what you do with the luck. You know, it's like, you know, your dad can get you into Harvard, but also you can work really hard at Harvard and then get the best job in the world and make $1,000.
I was going to say, for somebody, what does Rob pay you?
$1,000 annually. It's a really, it's not fun Survivor podcasting to talk about the luck element, but I do, I like more than anything when people capitalize on their luck, and I like when people have the luck and they fuck it up. I think that's also, you know, incredible TV.
Well, I mean, that's what Sophie Bellardi would be doing here. If she has the knowledge is power. It's not luck that she's been hiding it, but if she doesn't use it correctly and loses the game, it's like we're going to be sitting here dissecting like, man, Sophie, you had everything in your hand and you just didn't do it.
I also want to address the chat who's asking if it's Venus or Bono. It's not anybody from 46. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's not.
Is it from seasons 1 through 44?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Is it from seasons 1 through 43?
We're not doing it. It's from 1 through 44.
One layer that I wanted to add the thought process to go one more step with it is like, okay, we're doing Savannah over the possibility of Jerry for the fourth time. And I think that's the hard pill to swallow for, would you rather have Jerry a fourth time? And I do want to say, not this is a slam dunk because we haven't seen the end of 49 yet, but what would it take to have Camilla? Okay, we did see all of 48. We have Camilla over Jerry. We have Savannah over Jerry is what's coming. And I think it's something where I'm excited, just like you're saying, because Savannah is a above average player in Survivor by far. I think you put her on a lot of newbie seasons and she's hitting final five. I think that's why you can do a Parvati comparison. I think somebody like D is also that strong. That's why I'm excited to see D as well. And I think whenever you're saying, oh, if Savannah buzzsaws, does she get buzzsawed back? Do the buzzsaws clink? Do they go, oh, hell yeah, we do the same thing. Let's work together because I don't want that energy against me. And I know that there's some wiggle room. Let's wiggle together. Every single one of those options is good.
Yeah.
The only option that isn't good is like, oh, I got caught with my hand in the cookie jar. I guess I'm going home 23rd place because there's a double boot every 2 days in the first start of this. And it's like, as long as she doesn't get 23rd place, I think it makes sense for Savannah to be on 50 at this point.
Yeah. And really, like the Jerry comparisons, like I want to live in a world where I am thrilled that Savannah's on over anybody. Like I like that better. Like I would trade Jerry for anybody on the season 50 cast by like anybody. I would have rather
even Saree.
Yeah. I would have rather had Jerry. There's the idea to not have Jerry who like wanted to go is still perplexing. It's the only decision that I think is just genuinely perplexing.
Picking Ozzy over Amanda is a pretty perplexing one too.
Oh, sure.
If that's true, if Amanda was really ready to do it, and the one thing was I don't want to be on with Ozzy, and they picked Ozzy after Ozzy was on Game Changers and did so much on that season, that would be perplexing.
I do not buy that. That's true. I don't buy that Amanda was ever in. I don't know where I read that, but when we get like a hard data point from like a Dalton Ross or something that says it when the preseason came out that she was close, I would change my answer. But as of now, I'm operating under the assumption she did not actually want to go, but fucking Jerry did. Jerry wanted to go so bad. And it's like,
and her hair is gray now. That would be
and
sick.
Her hair is gray, but it's like, what a cool fucking, and I understand that she had a great, maybe the best 3-season arc in the history of the show, but like, let's fucking do it again. It's not even, it doesn't even count as the same one anymore. It's been so long. Like let's see this Jerry is not the same Jerry that we got to know over the span of 8 years. Like this is Jerry 15 years after the last time.
I hate to be this guy, but
who are the 12 people you're least excited for, Brandon? Well, go.
I was just going to say, I feel like if they would have ran back Heroes versus Villains with most of that cast, like if you're bringing back Jerry, you're bringing back James, you're bringing back Amanda, most people would have been pretty happy. Yeah, you're seeing those people for a lot of times, but I think people would have been happier than with what's there.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, my would rather have Jerry than anybody is not a dig on any specific part. I really don't. I think after doing the whole podcast that I did, like, I don't see any duds, but I really would have loved to have had Jerry. I think that Jerry's the, and it like, and if Amanda Kimmel wanted to go, then Amanda Kimmel, but to hear that Jerry was so close and didn't get it is I don't understand that choice.
Who's your biggest snub? Because I know you're talking about Jerry very strongly here, but who's your biggest snub that you feel like quintessential should have been on 50? How do you not do this?
Sydney is a hard, no, like crazy pick to not have Sydney from 32. Wheeler.
Yeah, Sydney Wheeler. Yeah, no.
If she wanted Sydney to go, let her out. Sydney is a tough one. Sean Rector's a tough one. Really, it's like the older folks that are the snub. Like and like the new era is like people that I went to high school with. So it's like it's harder for me to pick a snub from a group of people that I care more about them personally than your average person. But yeah, to not have your Sydneys and not have your Sean Rector, Jerry, trying to think of any other
Are there any three-time players or something that you would have wanted to see? Like, do you think
Kelly Wentworth, like, for sure? I think Kelly Wentworth is, but I also, like, I am the biggest proponent. Like, I think Kelly Wentworth we will see her again at some point, sometime soon. I think that she has entered the Survivor lexicon to where, whether the Traitor scoops her up or one of these other shows, they scoop her up. Rob also is a huge snub for me. I thought there was no world where Rob wouldn't have gotten on if Rob wanted to go.
Would you have given him the podcast back if he had gone on?
No. I mean, I had the keys for the Traitors, but I think everything worked out with, like, he doesn't enter my lexicon because I think everything worked out really great in that regard. But it would have been so cool. I mean, even like the Traitors podcast that we do, when it is announced that he's going, I'm like emotional. I'm like, this is my literal, I mean, childhood hero that I've been watching, not only on the screen that I'm talking to you guys, like on TV, but also through podcasts for 15 years. Like, he's on TV again. It's crazy in any regard. But
you're following in his footsteps too.
I'm following. Well, I'm pretty big. I'm trying. Listen.
You're on Survivor.
No way Rob has that big a feat.
You're on a pod. Brandon has a podcast now.
Listen, I'm having a great time. And I, you know, people are throwing around the Russell also. Russell's it's a conflicting one, but I understand the world where people. What's that?
We should never do a Hans ever again.
Yeah, that's my thing with Russell is, look, I think Russell's probably one of the most important people to ever play Survivor. I think he's one of the most integral to everything. He played 3 times in 4 seasons. He was massive. He totally changed the game. He went too far with his personal shit, man. He went too far. Like, you know, that's where I think then it's like, no, like, you did start crossing lines. You started attacking people personally in these different ways. And I think it's fair.
And not
I think he's great TV.
His like family also is doing the same thing, which is a tougher, you know, it's not even just Russell. It's the whole Hans family.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's
did you actually share a name with one of them?
Yes. My name was Sean. Sean Donlan is my full name.
Yeah.
Willie Donlan. But yeah, I mean, I'm seeing again in the chat, but like, of course, like your Jesse's, your Carolyn's. I would have loved to have seen Kelly for my show there. I would have loved to have seen Caleb for my show there. I would have loved to have seen Shan. The idea that there's no Shan is crazy. But that's just like, they'll do another one. Andy, I would have loved to have seen there.
Yeah.
Bring back a lot of Sam. I would have loved to have seen from 47. Rachel from 47. Teeny.
Who are you least excited for?
What's that?
Who are you least excited for?
I don't want to skirt this question. I want to answer it. Actually,
I'm actually proud of you for saying that. So, all right, I want to hear it because there's a lot of people who skirt this question publicly.
I'm wondering who that.
While you think about that, I'm going to put up St. Cliffo's because this is number one for me. Malcolm just not being on is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I also like, and we don't know, right? Like, Malcolm hasn't said anything publicly. Like, to not have him on makes me think that they didn't ask him or they didn't want him.
They did.
Like that, and that to me is, I think that I have so much in my head because I was so, as everybody listening to this was, attuned to who was asked but didn't go. Like, I think that. I think of that more than I think. Like, of course, I would have loved to have seen Cochran, but Cochran doesn't want to go, or I don't think was.
Oh, Blake's gonna kill you. Blake actually ranked Survivor Kara Moen when we do our Patreon. He ranked it below Thailand and One World because he hates Cochran that much.
Oh no, Cochran's the best.
Or maybe it's jealousy, and I need to get over it because clearly he won. And
his interview with John Lovett that came out the other day was very. If you haven't listened to it, and you're listening to this. Get the fuck off this YouTube. You can go somewhere else. That interview is very, very nice. And it was very cathartic for me to listen to. John Cochran and I, although he placed much differently both times, we had a very similar online experience. It was very nice to hear him talk through. But if you're interested, him and John Lovett of season 47.
Which podcast was it?
It was on John Lovett's, like, he just interviews reality stars. So he did an hour with Cochran. But it was.
When are you doing that one?
I would love to if they call me, and I'm statistically a better Survivor player than John Lovett, but not by much. Hey. I'm trying to think of my least favorite for season 50. I think this
was supposed to end at 8:30, dude. I got the Lions over here in case you guys keep wondering why I'm looking to the right all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Let me end on my, you know, when I was doing that podcast, of course, like I think every time Suri is there, Suri gives us a different thing. Whereas I think that Ozzy has done a lot of the same, but I think the the feedback that I have been given pre even going to them going to 50 is that Ozzy really wants this time to be the strategy time. So I would have said Ozzy, but I'm excited to see what Ozzy does with this opportunity. Like, if you would have just made me in March pick who I wanted to see 24th at 24th, it would have been Ozzy. But I think Ozzy is going to come in with some more strategic chops than he's ever had.
He Q-skirted the question. Yeah.
Now, so you skirted it.
It would have been Ozzy.
It would have been Ozzy. So who took his place?
Well, now I don't even, I mean,
Who 23rd, you know?
You're doing the Savannah thing to me, and I'm Christina, and I don't want to.
Does it rhyme with robbery?
No. I think that also, like, what a cool person to have back who's done three vastly different experiences. And so, like, half the country would have debated that she should have won that first time, whether your mileage may vary or that's true or not. I also believe they're wrong. Yeah. You go super deep on Game Changers, but, like, are barely shown. Like, that's a weird thing. And then you're, like, out pretty unremarkably on your third time, but you go to the end because you're in the edge of extinction of it all. Like, that's very interesting to me of how do we end the Aubrey arc.
Okay,
Daryl Seymour says Brandon does not want to answer this question.
Fuck you, Daryl.
I have one other layer that I would have said if I showed up earlier. Because we said Malcolm. We've been paying attention to Malcolm. I think I have a couple in my head. How many Survivor stars have been made of, like, that person is a star after Malcolm? Is it more than 10? Is it under 10? There used to be a bunch of stars that we
Saying season 27 on? That's the question.
We said Malcolm. Malcolm is a, how is he not on 50? I don't know if there's that many after him. I think we have, like, the Devins. Like, are those the star? Like, star making performances. The one I can think of that I can't remember his name, but he's not going to be on 50.
Not a star then.
Is fourth place on Millennials versus Gen X.
Oh, David Wright.
David Wright.
I think David Wentworth and Aubrey, they hit them all on Edge of Extinction, though.
Yeah, like, you can't have, I don't think you can have stars unless they go back again and either prove why they are stars or have the validation of going for a second time to then become star. Like, I think you're going to see half the people who are back for their second time not do particularly well or do well and just not be remarkable, and then you're going to see stars. So I'm excited to see who the stars are for season 2.
All right,
but there are no stars yet.
You got 15 seconds.
Yeah.
How good is season 50 going to be?
Who are you least excited to watch play Survivor 50?
It's a great question. I wish I had an answer. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer.
So it would have been Ozzy, but it's not Ozzy.
I'm more excited for Ozzy than I have been. I mean, I said this. This isn't a hot take. I said this on the podcast that I did. I would have been so much more excited for Stephanie LaGrossa had I not just seen her on The Traitors. I think I would have been really excited for, like, her return to reality TV with a big gap. But I feel like the analogy that I made was, I had a friend in high school who, like, goes away to college and then he moves out, like, 2 hours away, and then he surprises his, like, grandmother in October, like, oh my God, I'm home. Like, we just saw you. Like, it's a surprise when you wait a couple more months. So I think I'll lock in my actual Stephanie LaGrossa final answer.
There you go. Yeah. See, I would have said Tiffany. That would have been the easy answer for me. And I think that's,
I think that's super cool. I think it's I think, you go into these people were, I'm not assigning what the fuck pick to Tiffany, but people were throwing that around. Cause it's just like I wouldn't have thought that those people do incredibly well on their second times.
Monica Padilla.
So, she did not. And then it will either go that way, and then I'll feel like, oh, okay, it went that way. Like, the ceiling is so, it's either, okay, who cares, or she surprises us. Mm-hmm. And I'm betting on, I've met her. I think she's great. I hope she surprises us.
And Blake, what was going to be your last question here before we let this end? Lions are winning, by the way, if anybody.
How good is season 50 going to be, Brandon?
I think it's me. I think it. I that it. You could be. Did I look? Hey, I broke up.
He doesn't want to answer this one either.
No. I think it'll be great. I really think it'll be great. I am more excited for the season 50 preview in a couple weeks than I am for any piece of Survivor media in the last 10 years. Including
that 3-hour premiere is going to be insane.
It's going to be like a movie. But, like, the I have such high hopes for the editing of the 2.5-minute long
cinema.
Preview. Cinema. I'm super, super excited to see how it looks.
All right. We're getting out of here, Blake.
Jawan just got added onto the editing team for 52.
You just made us go an extra hour because we wanted all our Blake time. We're here. Brandon's trying to click things in the chat. It's not working. It's pissing him off. All right, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Become a patron, half price off until the finale. So you got till the 17th. If you want half price, if you want to make your family buy you a month of listening to us, do it. Patreon.com/thespecialist. Join the Survivor alumni group chat, survivor49.chat. And what else we got? Tonight, John and McKenna are doing Survivor Rewind. I'm live with Wendell at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday for predictions and power rankings. And that's it. Thank you all so much for listening. Brandon, always a pleasure. Your screen just went dark. I guess that was that.
I'm here. And I love you all.
It got really dark in front of you, you know.
That happens to the best of us.
Bye, everybody.